Well, hello everyone. I want to welcome East and I want to welcome everybody online and just so excited that you're here. If you've been with us, we've been in a series called Letters from Prison. We are wrapping it up today. And in this series, what we've been doing is taking the letters that Paul wrote while in prison and learning from them to go, okay, God, how do we be the light when the circumstances are not great? And so if you're curious, the letters have been Colossians, Philippians, Ephesians, and we've had a great group of pastors be able to preach over all of those. Now today, I'm going to be focusing on Philemon. Now we are going to cover every scripture, well, close to every scripture from this book. Now if you are freaking out a little bit, just know it's only 25 verses. So we're good, okay? One chapter. It's interesting, even in this, it's interesting to call it a letter because more of it was actually more like a postcard to a friend. And so it functions a little bit differently than what the other letters would have been. The other letters were written to the church. They would have been read in front of the church. This was specifically to his friend, Philemon, and his family. Now, some of that is because they are dealing with a situation that is going to require forgiveness. So spoiler alert, that's what we're talking about today, okay? Now, when it talks about forgiveness, I think there's so many valuable lessons to learn, but I would also add this. As a pastor doing counseling now for years upon years, forgiveness is usually the number one thing I talk about with so many people because it's a struggle for so many of us. Whether it's how do I forgive my dad who walked out of our lives? How do I forgive my spouse who wanted a divorce? How do I forgive even God who didn't allow us to have a child or didn't, whatever you put in those categories? These are big conversations. And sometimes if we're not willing to wrestle with that forgiveness, it will eat at us for years and upon years and upon years and keep us from having the relationship with God and others that God designed us to have. So that's why I'd say, as much as it's just this little postcard, because it's a good question to ask of like, why is this in the Bible? Why are we having this conversation being read out loud nowadays where it was just between Paul and Philemon? It's because of the conversation about forgiveness. Paul was coaching Philemon in this moment, but also the other character you'll see is Onesimus. So just to give you context, here's the three characters. I've already mentioned them, but to give you like more context, Paul is the writer of this. He's a missionary and currently in a Roman prison. Philemon is a Christian and a leader within the Colossae church. He was one that helped start the church in Colossae, which letter to Colossians make that connection. And then Onesimus is a runaway slave, and Philemon was his master. So there you go. There's the context. There's the three characters we will see throughout our time today. So here, I want to start off first couple verses here in Philemon, just to help us kind of get into this. This letter is from Paul, a prisoner for preaching the good news about Christ Jesus, and from our brother Timothy. I'm writing to Philemon, our beloved co-worker, and to our sister Aphia, and to our fellow soldier Archippus, and to the church that meets in your house. May God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. It's important to point this out and recognize this was to Philemon, but Aphia was probably his wife, and Archippus was probably their oldest son. And so he's writing this going, hey, Philemon, I'm going to need you to read this also to your wife and your son because they would have been affected by this. And I'm going to need them to walk through this as well. So then Paul keeps going on in the letter and he goes, I always thank my God when I pray for you, Philemon, because I keep hearing about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all of God's people. And I'm praying that you will put into action the generosity that comes from your faith as you understand and experience all the good things we have in Christ. Your love has given me so much joy and comfort, my brother, for your kindness has often refreshed the hearts of God's people. Now, you see it in this. Paul is making this, and this is where I go. They are friends. They have walked through some things together. When they were starting the church in Colossae, they had some moments, and Paul got to see Philemon's life completely change and transform. And now he's reaching out going, hey, man, I'm so proud of you. I'm so excited for you. But you see it in there. It's like, I hope that your generosity will extend in these moments. And so here's where the ask comes. Look at this in verse 8. This is why I'm boldly asking a favor of you. I could demand it in the name of Christ because it is the right thing for you to do. But because of our love, I prefer simply to ask you. Consider this a request from me, Paul, an old man and now also a prisoner for the sake of Christ Jesus. I appeal to you to show kindness to my child, Onesimus. I became his father in the faith while here in prison. Now, I don't know if you've had this happen. I'm assuming you probably have. But I'm thinking, like, Philemon's reading this, he's like, oh man, I got a note from my friend Paul. This is great to hear. Starts off first, you know, verses there. They probably wouldn't have verses, but they put verses in later. But anyways, and he's just reading, he's like, oh, this is great. And then when it hit Onesimus, I don't know if you've ever had that name or something, a circumstance, and you hear it, and anger starts to happen, or the hair on your back and neck starts to go up. That's probably what they felt. Probably his wife too, and his son too. They're just like, oh, Paul, you had to bring this guy up? Because they were frustrated with him. Onesimus had hurt this family deeply, okay? Now, to give you an example in my life, this was more out of fear. Power of, if you mention Ghostbusters 2 to me, scares me, okay? That face still haunts me sometimes, okay? Partly because I watched this movie when I was in first or second grade. Best friend, we're like sleeping over. We watched, he's like, hey, you wanna watch this? It just came out. I was like, sure, it sounds great. And watched it, and I couldn't sleep that night. I'm in the middle of the night calling my mom and dad, going, Mom, Dad, I can't sleep. And then my best friend's mom comes in. She's like, are you okay? And I'm like, I'm not. Not okay. And I still remember, like, vividly where I was at, the phone call I'm making, because in my mind I'm wrestling, like, I don't want to be that kid that's calling their mom in the middle of the night, but it happened. So every time I think this, now I've gotten older, sure, the movie's not as scary, but it still has that moment to where I think back to what happened. And I can go a little bit even more into this, like, you probably have a name that's hard for you to forgive or a situation that's hard for you to give. That's what Philemon and his family are feeling right now as soon as Onesimus comes up. And so that's why I want to put you in this moment. What if Paul was writing this letter to you? You and him are good friends. And he says, hey, I want you to forgive, put in the name, put in the circumstance. And that just creates anxiety, fear, anger, all the emotions come with that. And so Paul keeps going in this. This is now where Philemon is at. He's sitting in this, and he says, Onesimus hasn't been much of use to you in the past, but now he is very useful to both of us. I'm sending him back to you, and with him comes my own heart. Now, I've focused a lot on Philemon, but I also want to take a little time. Onesimus would have had the same feeling of the anxiety and fear because now he's having to face what he did, the sin he had committed to this family. Because if, to give you a little bit more context, because talk about slavery, sometimes that's just a tough context for us to understand. Some of you are wondering, why is it in the Bible? And I'll kind of explain that here in a little bit. But you got to understand context. Roman Empire at this time, there were 60 million people in slavery within their empire. So slavery was a very common place, common thing to be a part of. And Onesimus, and there's kind of either two reasons for the Roman Empire for you to be enslaved. One is the Roman Empire conquered your country. And that made you automatically your slaves to the Roman Empire. That's why when Jesus was around, this is even a little past Jesus this time, that's why the Jewish people always felt oppressed by the Roman Empire because Rome was like, yeah, you're our slaves. You work for us. The second reason is because you owed somebody money. And so the way you'd make it up is become a slave to them. You work for them. You pay that debt off. And then everything is made right and you would be released and be free. So most likely for Onesimus, he owed Philemon money, or he was working on behalf to make that debt up, but he ran away from it. And on top of it, you'll see it later, there's a good chance he probably stole from this family too. And so that's where Philemon feels this. He's like, man, we had an agreement and you just walked out on it. You bailed on me. And not only that, you took things that meant something to our family. And Onesimus is having to go, and I have to go face that. Because in Roman times, the master had the ability to go, you're dead. I control your life. If I don't like what you've done, I think it's way out of line, you're dead. They had the ability to do that, and no one would bat an eye. So you can imagine the fear Onesimus is facing. On top of that, the reason he was in Rome is because that's where a lot of slaves, if they were running away, tried to hide. He was hiding there, and then he meets Paul somehow. Paul and him have a conversation. Paul introduces Jesus to him. Jesus turns Onesimus' life around, hence why Paul is writing this postcard saying, Philemon, hey, I want you to know this guy's life has changed. And now Paul is having both of these men. Can we forgive each other? Can we work through this? A few things I want you to see in that. Onesimus had to confront his sins. Just because he became a Christian did not mean, hey, what you did in the past, you don't have to deal with. Now, I want to be very careful with this. This does not say that his sins were not covered. No, Jesus covered that. But he still had to deal with it. He still had to own the consequences of it. Still had to walk through it. But the truth is, it did not define him anymore. And I love this quote right here. Christianity never entitles a man to default on his debts. We are called. Just because you become a Christian, be like, okay, God's forgiven that. I'm good now. No, sometimes you're going to have to walk through some of those things and walk through the forgiveness of making it right with the person you've hurt or the circumstances that you created. And recognizing, I need to do this. This is why we have the discipline within the church, but also Jesus led this, God created this, the discipline of confession. 1 John 1:8-9, look at this. If we claim we have no sin, we are only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. This is an ongoing thing. This is not just one time at salvation. This is an ongoing thing where God points out, or there's circumstances where we recognize we were wrong and we have to go own that, confess that, and not only to God, but possibly to the person we have offended. And we have to make our debts right. And I think too often we avoid them because it's just too hard. Or the conversation is not going to go the way I want it to. Or what if they don't forgive? Or what if God doesn't forgive? Well, that last part of it is not true, but Satan tries to convince you of that. Because look what happens if you don't. Psalms 32 says this. When I refused to confess my sin, my body wasted away, and I groaned all day long. Pause. Could some of you right now be struggling in life and feeling that, like, yeah, I feel like my body's wasting away. I feel like I'm just groaning all day long, and I don't know why. Could it be because you don't want to confess? You don't want to own what has happened and what you've done. Day and night, your hand of discipline was heavy on me. My strength evaporated like water in the summer heat. That's why I say Onesimus had this moment to where he's going, all right, Paul, man, God has changed my life. But you got to think, am I going to tell him what I did? Am I going to tell him what happened in my past? He chooses to. And I don't know if any of you have ever had this, like, maybe you've done this, like, you confess to somebody and they're like, okay, have you told the other person? Have you went and talked to them? And you're like, no, that's why I told you. That's why I don't want to tell them. That's why I told you. You're safe. And I think Paul goes, Onesimus, you got to make this right. I'm going to send a letter to Philemon, but you need to go meet with him. You need to go talk about this. You are two Christian brothers. You've got to figure this out. You've got to talk with him. And Paul's probably like, dude, you can. I think Philemon will handle this in the right way, but you've got to have the courage to go do it. So here's the question for you. Are you confronting your sins? Are you seeking forgiveness? Because we could sit here and people in our lives that we've hurt, they may want to forgive, But the reality is you've got to start it. If you're the one that hurt, you've got to be the one to go meet them. Onesimus had to go take this journey. I got to go back to Colossae and talk with Philemon and the family. The challenge for you is, are you confronting your sins? Now, we'll switch gears here. Talked about Onesimus a lot. Let's focus a little bit on Philemon. Paul goes into the next part of scripture where he really starts to coach, I think, on a lot of levels, what forgiveness will look like. And telling Philemon, here's what I want for you, and here's what I would recommend. So he says, I wanted to keep him here with me, him being Onesimus, while I'm here in these chains for preaching the good news. And he would have helped me on your behalf. But I didn't want to do anything without your consent. I wanted you to help because you were willing, not because you were forced. It seems you lost Onesimus for a little while so that you could have him back forever. He is no longer like a slave to you. He is more than a slave, for he is a beloved brother, especially to me. Now he will mean much more to you, but as a man and as a brother in the Lord. Let's go back to that first part of the scripture here. But I didn't want to do anything without your consent. I wanted you to help because you were willing, not because you were forced. Critical piece to understanding forgiveness is that it is not forced. Now, I understand many of us in the room grew up being told by our parents, you need to say sorry to your brother or sister right now. Say it right now. And you're like, fine, sorry. You know, fine, sorry, you know. Now, I get it. Parents, I'm doing the same thing. I got four kids at home. I am forcing apologies, okay? But in reality, I think what we're trying to coach at some point is that kids would learn to go do this on their own. And they would learn to seek this. And I think too often we grow up, and maybe we know, especially if you're a Christian, you know you should. And you do it here, but you don't do it here. It's more of a, yeah, I forgive you, but I'm gonna go gossip about you over here. Yeah, I forgive you, but I'm still going to be pretty angry at you for a while. See, I think we've learned in some levels how to justify forcing it in some ways, just to make ourselves be like, I did it, Lord. I forgave them. And he's like, you didn't forgive them. You just did it because you know the knowledge. You haven't done it with your heart yet at all. You actually have not just said, God, help me with this. I don't know how to do this. I'm struggling to forgive them. And catch this, forgiveness is not a one-time thing. Forgiveness is an everyday action. Forgiveness is those moments where you go, God, I confess, I don't want to forgive them today. It's hard for me to forgive today. I'm angered, they said something again, whatever it may be. But this is where we learn going, no, this is not force. I choose to do this. I choose to lay this down. I'm not going to forgive and then keep letting it eat up my mind and my space and in my heart. By having these conversations play out, man, if I get a chance to talk to him, here's what I'm going to do. Or I'm going to go talk about it with everybody else. No. Forgiveness is not force. We lean completely into it. Now, the second part of this, he's no longer like a slave to you. He's more than a slave, for he is a beloved brother, especially to me. Now he will mean much more to you, but as a man and as a brother in the Lord. Now, he's kind of like, he's no longer like a slave to you. This is a part of this, and you may not make this connection, but I have, and over many years, like, forgiveness is not forgetting what somebody has done. Sometimes we hear that, and sometimes you're like, well, what about that scripture? God forgets us from east to the west. If God forgot our sins, why would Jesus need to pay the price for them? All of humanity's sins was on Jesus' shoulders. What Jesus is doing there, what God is saying, is going, I don't hold it against you anymore. But I will remember it because we have to make this relationship right. So I'm going to cover the sin. I'm going to cover the pain you've caused. So that's why I want us to be careful, because I've had to coach a lot of people in this and helping people understand Just because you forgive somebody doesn't mean you've forgotten what they've done. But you can't hold on to it and holding this grudge and pain against them. It's going, I forgive them, but I hope we can get this better. I hope we can make this a healthier dynamic later on. But I'm going to give over, God, I'm going to give over the vengeance I have. I'm going to give over the consequences I would like for them to experience. I'm going to give over the pain that I'm feeling right now. See, to me, that's not forgetfulness. That's just learning, God, help me to forgive in a way that the pain that I feel is not going to be my identity for the next whatever years you want to put in there. So that's why I think it's so critical. It's not forced. It's not forgetting. And if anything, I would love to kind of show you there's a first step of forgiveness, and then there's a second step of reconciliation. So look at this. Forgiveness, this is what we give to God. This can be done on your own. And so you give the consequences over, you give the vengeance, you give the pain, and you lean into boundaries. This is where I'd say, God is not expecting you, hey, yep, just keep taking it. Just keep letting people walk over you. Keep letting them hurt you. No, you put up boundaries. That's part of forgiveness. You're going, God, I give this over to you, but I understand what they've done, and I am going to put up some barriers because we're obviously not ready to walk down this road. So that's forgiveness, and that's something you can do all the time, every day. Now, reconciliation, this is restoring the relationship. Both people must lean into this. This you cannot do on your own. Both parties have to come together and work through and restore the relationship, restore the trust. Relationships are now is now healthier, and then you slowly let go of those boundaries because trust has been rebuilt. I picture boundaries because sometimes we treat boundaries as like these are walls we have put up. They're not walls. Best picture I think of when here in Rapid City, we used to have summer nights and they would block the roads like downtown. And what would they put up there? They got cones. They got these little barriers. But what happens after the night's over? They remove them. And now that road has access. I think the same thing. That's a better picture of what boundaries look like. You're going, we can't go down this road because I'm hurt, I'm not ready to walk through this, and I don't know if you want to reconcile this. So that's why this barrier's here. That's why this boundary's here. Now, if we work through it, then I will lift this up and we'll walk through this together. That's what reconciliation is. To where we remove the boundaries, we're working through this, and we're learning to build and restore this relationship. But catch this, forgiveness God expects. Reconciliation is not, because we can't guarantee reconciliation will happen, because that will depend on the other person being willing to walk through this with you. And sometimes they won't. Sometimes they will think they're never wrong. And that's the hard part in life. We all want reconciliation. But reality is sometimes those are not guaranteed. Forgiveness we can do. That is something we have to work on. So here, put it up there. You see it on the screen right now. God expects us to forgive with the hope of reconciliation. God wants every relationship to be redeemed. God wants it to happen, but he also understands, because recognize he lives in this. He has forgiven all of humanity. Does that mean everybody will choose him and want a relationship with him and want to reconcile things with him? No. Because he gave people free will. And he said, I hope you'll choose me. I hope we can do this. But if you don't want anything to do with me, if you don't want to reconcile this relationship, you don't want to know who I am, then there's a place where I don't exist. So that's why I think God is coaching us. And this is why this little postcard of a letter is so vital for us to understand. This is what forgiveness looks like. This is what reconciliation looks like. And that's why it's in the Bible, so that we can learn. And God's going, I'm teaching you what I've done with humanity. And if you have a relationship with me, you must learn to do the same thing. Because if you don't understand forgiveness, if you don't understand reconciliation, then you don't understand the relationship that God is offering you. Because all of our relationship with God, every single one of us, is built on relationship and reconciliation. That's how we have it. There's no other way. The way you come to be saved is through forgiveness and reconciliation. And so if you understand that, then God goes, if I've forgiven you and your sins, this is about eternal life. What this person has done here on earth is temporary. The weight is so much bigger. And that's why God is going, are you willing to forgive here? Because I've forgiven you. Are you willing to reconcile here? Because I've reconciled with you. And so those become, I think, sometimes the tougher dynamics in this. And that's why I don't want forgiveness to get in the way of your relationship with the Lord and with other people. Because the truth is, unforgiveness is like poison to your body. It will eat at you. It will destroy you. I want you to experience peace, even in the midst of pain. But that only comes through understanding what God has done for you. Now, Paul keeps going here. Look at this in verse 17 and 18. Here we go. All right. So if you consider me your partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has wronged you in any way or owes you anything, charge it to me. Leading to there's a good chance. Paul wouldn't have wrote that unless Onesimus would have said, hey, I stole this. But then, if you're wondering why all caps, because Paul in this moment writes it. He's chained up. He's writing it with his own hand. It's not like he's screaming this at Philemon. But I, Paul, write this with my own hand. I will repay it. And I won't mention that you owe me your very soul. Now, some of those are very strong words, but I think you get what he's alluding to. He's going, Paul's going, Philemon, your life was changed because I brought the gospel to Colossae. And I hope that you will do that kind of grace for somebody else, just like the grace I extended you. Now, the other interesting part to this is Paul in there, it says, me, your partner. Now, some of us be like, okay, that's just, hey, we're good friends, all that kind of stuff. But in the Roman Empire, there was actually an advocacy law. They called it the advocacy clause. And what that meant is a runaway slave could, if they found a friend or a partner of the master that they were under, this partner and friend could come to them and go, hey, I stand on behalf of this slave. I tell you, like, their life has changed. They're trying to get better. You can welcome them back, which makes sense. A slave going to, hey, I've changed. I'm so sorry for what I've done. Can you go talk to my master? You know him. You would be able to be a good representative of me. I'm not picking somebody I know. I know you know them. You can stand on my behalf. And so that's what Paul is kind of pointing. Like when he says partner, he's like, I am pushing through the advocacy clause here. I'm standing on behalf of Onesimus, coming to you, my friend, my partner, Philemon. You can trust this guy again. You can believe in him. Now, throughout history, it's shown that this was used, and sometimes the slave would be welcomed right back into the family. Beautiful picture of reconciliation and forgiveness. But as I was reading this, what stood out to me is how beautiful this picture is, where Paul's standing on behalf of Onesimus, but he's also going, this is what Jesus does for us all the time. He's our advocate. He's our advocacy clause, where we stand before God the Father. And God the Father's like, okay, you're a slave to me. You ran away from me. You didn't have a good relationship anymore. But Jesus goes, no, Father, I know that. But his life has changed. I stand on his behalf. He's a good man. He's a good woman. And they both deserve to be in a right relationship with you. Look at this in 1 John. I love this. This is just scripture. My dear children, I'm writing this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate who pleads our case before the Father. He is Jesus Christ, the one who is truly righteous. He himself is the sacrifice that atones for our sins, and not only our sins, but the sins of all the world. I find it so crazy. The Roman Empire had an advocacy clause. Almost wondering, like, where did they get that from? Well, Jesus set the example in that. Beautiful picture, and I want you to see that every day you're struggling with forgiveness. Every day you're struggling. Maybe someone is wanting to reconcile something. They are wanting to navigate these things. Just remember, Jesus has done this on behalf of you many, many times. Go, no, 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 Father, I've covered it for them. And anything that they mess up in the future, I've covered for them. Pay it to me. That's what Jesus has done for you. That's how we can learn to forgive. That's how we can learn to reconcile, because our heart has to feel that and know that. Because our mind might tell us, no, there's justice. There's all these things. Things should be made right. And I get that. I feel those things too. But we also got to have this other side to where it's like, man, I was never able to make it right before God. Jesus is the only one that did that for me. I was never able to cover all my sins. I couldn't have reconciled things on my own. Jesus was your advocate in that. So let's learn, church, to be an advocate for others. The power of forgiveness and reconciliation is only found in our advocate, Jesus Christ. So here's the other side of this. If you don't forgive, then you don't understand Jesus as your advocate. And I understand some of this may be hard to swallow, but I would say you need to sit in this and be willing to go, have I actually forgiven the people who have hurt me? Have I owned the sins that I've even caused or hurt other people? And sit with God and going, God, have I done that in a healthy way? Because Paul was bringing that conversation between Philemon and Onesimus. And the beautiful thing in all this is that I was talking about slavery and all that. Throughout the Bible, you see things that are in the Bible that aren't the healthiest. I'll give you an example, especially early off, they would give all the inheritance to the oldest son. They soon realized God was still doing that. This is not healthy. So you see them kind of stop doing that over time. Also, throughout the Old Testament, you see them having many wives. Kings would have tons of wives, all that. And then over time, God's going, once again, not healthy. So what was accepted culturally, God would go, hey, can we address this? Can we change this? And over time, you'd see it. That's the beautiful part of the Bible. The Bible is not this perfect layout of what God has done in humanity. He's going, no, there's been situations that we've had to work through. And this was another one where Paul's going, hey, can we talk about slavery? Maybe this is not the best way to do things. Onesimus, Philemon, make it right. Let's learn to change the page on this. Change how we approach this. And it was one of those beginning acts of going, maybe this can look a lot different. And I would want us to sit here and go, what if there's something God wants to do that he goes, can we make your life look a lot different? Maybe you're holding on to unforgiveness. You're mad at God. Maybe you're mad at somebody, whatever it may be. And God's telling you, please sit here with me and let's talk through this. What we're going to do today to finish our time is take communion. Recognize God gave us this practice, this sacrament, as a way for us to remember that we have this advocate. We have Jesus who has forgiven us and reconciled things with us. So before we can do this, though, I think there's two things you've got to understand to take communion today. One, you got to have a relationship with Jesus. Don't enter into the sacrament without knowing who Jesus is and how he saved you. The second part of it then is going, is your heart pure and clear in the forgiveness department? Because look at this in Matthew 5. Jesus is preaching. He says, so if you are presenting a sacrifice at the altar in the temple and you suddenly remember that someone has something against you, leave your sacrifice there at the altar, go and be reconciled to that person, then come and offer your sacrifice to God. Before you worship, before you take this sacrament, God is saying, please make sure your heart is in the right spot with forgiveness. And maybe even for some, maybe you go a step deeper, it's time to reconcile if that person is willing to do it with you. And I understand today you're like, well, they're not in the room or they're not right next to me. But you can do it with you and God right now, starting in that spot. And then I would say in the days to follow, you know the next steps to take. Let's be a church that learns to forgive and let Jesus, being our advocate, teach us how to navigate these things in a way that doesn't cause poison into our lives. We actually learn to do this in a way that starts to transform relationships. And I go back to what I said earlier. We start to see a relationship between a daughter or a son and their father be healed. A marriage be healed. Co-workers be healed. Friendships be healed. Because our hearts start to break and go, God, I need to forgive. I need to reconcile. I pray that we would do it and take this time right now just to let God speak to our souls. So God, we pray right now that you would lead us, you would guide us. Thank you for Philemon and Onesimus, for this little book in the Bible that helps us begin to sit in this, like, God, am I doing okay? Am I honoring you and how I forgive others? Am I reconciling things when the person is ready and, God, we are making things right? God, I pray that we would be these kinds of people that learn to walk with you, learn to be the Christians that you call us to be. Because, God, if we're struggling with forgiveness, then I also know we are struggling with our relationship with you. God, there's even a part that we learn to forgive even you because we're upset that we didn't get these answers, we didn't get these things. Life has not gone the way we wanted to. But the truth is, you're still good. And we need to sit in that, and we need to forgive and work through that. Because, God, ultimately, we want to learn our life is not about me. It's about what you desire and what you teach us and how to love others. And so, God, we love you. We pray all this in your name. Amen.